And it's another Tuesday. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So thankful that you're listening on Joy 620 this afternoon. As we talk about life, we talk about just everything that's going on. And one thing going on this week is school is starting back for most of us. Mostly all parents that have kids in elementary or high school. School is starting back for them in Knox County. My son goes to FBA in Powell, and that started last week. So my son is in kindergarten now. So a lot of things going on. That means there's nervousness, there's anxiousness with parents as kids are going back to school. Kids are getting on the bus, kids are waiting on the bus, and all the things that go along with that. So I know that this is a difficult time for some. For some parents, they're like, praise the Lord, summer's over and our kids are back in school. Either way, we want to celebrate that. We want to pray for our teachers, pray for the administration in Knox County and in the city of Knoxville, the school board, everything involved in that. So what we're going to do tonight is the theme is going to be wanted. So you've heard about, you know, wanted posters, FBI most wanted. Maybe you've been to Pigeon Forge and you've taken an old Western most wanted picture, you know, whatever that looks like. But what we're going to talk about tonight is every individual is wanted by God. Why? Because you're an image bearer. And so that's what we're going to focus on tonight. And we're going to look at the value that we have as human beings. And that value includes certainly babies in the womb, but it certainly comes out of the womb as well. And so that means moms, dads, families, human beings are wanted and are valued. And so before I get into that, though, I do want to touch on there's an article by the ERLC on 5 ways to help your child succeed in public school. And the reason I want to touch on that is because we are starting school back. Many of us are putting our kids in school. We're entrusting them to teachers and all of that. But it's interesting, you know, some of us do that differently. Some of us are sending our kids to public school. Some of us have our kids in private school. Some of us have our kids homeschooled. So there's a lot of different routes. But regardless of what route you're going, now, if you're homeschooled, it's a little bit different than what this article is going to talk about. But even if you have been in a private school, even a private Christian school, these tips are important. And I think that we need to look at it as parents. Really, we've all been called, and this is one thing this article says, is we've all been called to homeschool. Not necessarily schooling them at home and not putting them in school, but certainly knowing that we are the primary teacher. We are the primary person that disciplines. We are the primary person in their life as the parent. And so we are certainly homeschooling them. There's no question. Now, for 8 hours, 7 hours a day, they may be going to a school, but you have them the rest of the time. And so you need to be prepared for that. So ERLC recommended 5 different things that you can do, and I want to just quickly go through that so that we can all get on the same page, because this plays in with our theme. If we believe that we're all wanted, if we believe that the pro-life mission is a mission worth being involved in and being engaged in, if we believe that babies should be born, if we believe that moms and dads should choose life, then that means that we have to think through what this means when these kids get old enough to go to school. How are we still interacting with their, how do we interact with their teachers? How do we have conversations with their classmates and with the parents of their classmates? And how do we share the gospel? How do we impact the kingdom even within public school? And so let's get into this article. It says, do your homework. Research your child's school district. Effectively navigating public education requires an awareness and understanding of the realities and traits unique to your particular school system and its governing leadership. Now, if you're listening to this, unless you're listening on podcasts, you're probably in the Knoxville area. And so understand that. Know your, know Knox County, know the school board, know the superintendent, know all of those things. Most schools will also offer some variation of school tours or open houses. So, of course, get a feel for what the school is like. Some helpful questions to consider as you explore. What are the school board members and their superintendent? Who are the school board members and their superintendent? Does the school have an educational philosophy or mission? What curriculum is being used for your child's grade level? For middle and high school, is the health curriculum abstinence-based or comprehensive sex education? Now, last week, we talked about purity and abstinence and the importance of that, and how we still need True Love Waits. We need to hold on to that. We don't need to let that be a thing of the past, a thing of the 90s. We need to be celebrating abstinence and celebrating purity. So know what kind of sex education is going on in these schools. And if it is a comprehensive sex education curriculum, then ask if it allows a parental opt-out for controversial topics. Is parent involvement welcomed or discouraged? So when you go to the administration at the school and you say, hey, I would love to come in and volunteer, or I would love to come in and eat lunch with my child, do you get a stink eye or do they say, oh my gosh, we would love for you to be here? So that matters. In addition to academic, athletic, and social opportunities, do the students have access to extracurricular faith-based initiatives such as FCA, Campus Life, Young Life, or student-led Bible study? So again, are there opportunities for them to get plugged in? I think back to, I went to a public school. It was a K-12 public school in a very small town, but we had FCA. We had opportunities to we had See You at the Pole. We had all of these things where prayer and different things were still happening even in a public school system. So go and ask those questions. What are some of the school strengths and what are the most significant challenges the school faces? Again, these are important questions. The second thing you need to do is build bridges, not walls. So again, communicate well and respectfully with the adults who will be a regular part of your child's day. Understand that. When I worked at the University of Tennessee, we had what we call helicopter parents. And those parents would never let go of their child. And they were involved in every aspect of everything that we did. And it wasn't a good relationship between the child and the parent, and certainly not between the parent and the university. And so you can be involved, but not overly involved. You can be involved and not be rude to the teachers. You can be involved and not be a menace to the administration at the school, but certainly be there and be involved. Learn the names of the office staff, the teacher's assistants, bus drivers. I still know the name of my bus driver, Mr. Donovan. He drove my bus growing up for years. So it's important to know who those people are. Know the librarians and the cafeteria workers and express appreciation as often as you can. And they recommend sending notes, baking cookies, leave small packages of candy in their boxes, or just doing things that show that you appreciate them. You appreciate the time that they're putting in with your child. So when you observe a teacher or staff member going the extra mile, you go the extra mile as well. Send an email of thanking them and to the individual with a carbon copy to their supervisor. Again, going the extra step, showing that they matter, showing that you care about them and you appreciate them. Get involved. When the school asks for help, jump in if you're able. Whether you coordinate a class party, chaperone a field trip, volunteer at Fall Festival, whatever that looks like, look to be plugged in into the school system. The fourth thing they say is train your children well at home. And this is where they point out, regardless of an educational choice, all Christian parents are called to homeschool. And you see this in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Scripture is clear that parents are to be the primary disciple makers in the lives of their children. This means instructing children from their earliest days about our sin nature, as well as the nature and character of God and what He has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We must deliberately cultivate a Christian worldview and equip our children to identify, filter, and respond to lessons that are contrary to our biblical convictions as we guide them toward maturity. Again, so we're preparing our kids for school. We're preparing our kids to understand they're going to go out and make disciples. If we are pro-life, and if we celebrate the birth of babies, well, those babies eventually become kindergartners, first graders, second graders, seniors, and then college freshmen, college sophomore. Are we taking the time needed to prepare them for those moments, for those conversations that they're going to have? And the fifth thing that they point out, advocate directly and respectfully. So when a difficult situation arises, begin with your child's teacher. Sometimes a quick email to ask a clarifying question is helpful, but be prepared to make an appointment. While email is fast and easy, face-to-face communication allows more personal interaction with less opportunity for misunderstanding. Be polite and tactful. Document everything. What has occurred to cause concern and any further actions, meetings, or contact about the matter. So again, be respectful. We are believers. We are Christians. We see things with a biblical worldview. So that means that the people that we're interacting with, and we're going to talk about this more here in a little bit, the people that we're interacting with are image bearers. Whether they're a believer or not, whether they agree with you politically or in some other shape, form, or fashion or not, they are an image bearer. And if they're your child's teacher, then you need to have a relationship. You need to be able to have those conversations. And they end the article like this. Throughout the years, God has continually reminded us both his sovereignty and his purposes for our family to remain in public school. Countless stories have been shared around the dinner table about the blessings, friendships, divine appointments, and how the Lord is working through challenges in the hallways of a public school. The same God who gave Daniel favor and compassion in Babylon, a culture set against the precepts of God, is just as able to guard today your children, whom we entrust to him amidst a rapidly shifting culture. So again, there's a lot of fear about school. There's a lot of fear about where our kids should go, what school our kids should go to. We're not going to discuss which one's right on this show. So my goal is not to say, well, you should homeschool, or you should go to private school, or you should go to public school. No, that's going to be different for each parent. And have that conversation. Have that conversation with your spouse. What my wife and I had to have that conversation. What direction did we want to go for our oldest as he enters in kindergarten? And so that took a little while. It took some difficult conversations and discussions about the direction that we wanted to go. But ultimately, if you value life and if you value your child, which I know you do, then when you put them in school, whether that be in Knox County, I mean, that could be Halls, it could be Powell, it could be Carnes, it could be fill in the blank. There's so many schools out there. Whatever that school is, be a part. Get to know their teacher. Get to know the administration at the school. Seek to be a part of the solutions and the betterment of those schools. Be a part of the community. Not, again, don't build walls, build bridges. All right? So value life. And I know this week is tough. Your kids are going back to school and it's nerve-wracking, but it's going to be okay. We'll be back in a sec.
Faith without works, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Hey, we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. You know, the first segment we talked about school and sending our kids back to school. And while I was talking, I got an email from my son's kindergarten teacher. So see, that's a positive thing. And they send out updates periodically about what they learned and what they went over. And so those are the things that I'm talking about. Have that connection with your child's teacher. It's going to matter. And so again, why is that important on a show where we talk about pro-life? Because again, we're not just pro-baby, right? Our babies grow up to be cowboys. No, that's a different thing. Our babies grow up to be students. And so we have to be preparing them for that life, you know, whatever level that is in school. And so I know people that are sending their oldest off to college right now. And the nerve-wracking part of that. And so we just need to be prepared for that and know that I'm praying for you and know that I'm praying for parents and teachers all over because this is always a fun and exciting and nerve-wracking time. But what I want to get to now is how we are all wanted. So we are a wanted people. We have value. We matter. And so the term wanted is often associated with the FBI's most wanted list or an old Western photography studio in Pigeon Forge. If you haven't seen that, you need to get there. It's a great tourist attraction. This term, though, means much more than that. When we see our society through a biblical worldview, then we are forced to come to grips with our own value and the value of others. So the question is, are we ultimately wanted or not? This question could be answered very simply. Yes, we are a wanted people. Wanted by whom? Wanted by God. We are a valuable people. Now, who places that value on us? God does. These truths to believers seem like common knowledge. These truths for many of us are second nature, but for the majority of our patients at Hope Resource Center, these truths are a fantasy. This is why we open our doors every day. We desperately long for all, but especially the wounded in our community that finds themselves in crisis, to know they are wanted, valued, and loved. We want the unknown of being wanted for our patients to become the known. We desire for them to come to the realization that they are wanted by a God that loves them, a God that designed and made them for a particular purpose. Oftentimes, some wish to pigeonhole pregnancy centers and many pro-lifers into being simply pro-baby. Many act as if pro-lifers are incapable of being pro-woman, pro-man, pro-family, and pro-baby all at the same time. Well, this is a mistake, and it's just flat wrong. We are pro-life at every stage. This starts at conception and certainly continues outside of the womb when babies become adults and adults become parents. We operate as individuals and as an organization that understands every member of this community is an image bearer created with a purpose. This means they are wanted and valued. We operate daily within a biblical worldview that says we are to love and serve the wanted. This translates to every human being that finds their way to hope. This is why we provided 45 STI tests, 62 pregnancy tests, and 41 ultrasounds in the month of July. We don't do this for the money because we don't charge a dime. We don't do this for the fame. We do this because we are wanted. We didn't have to jump through hoops or perform an incantation. We are image bearers that have been given the gift of life. That truth, and yes, we believe that is the truth, drives our everyday. Our vision is no longer clouded, which means we are allowed to love unashamedly and serve without hesitation. Patients at Hope will walk away knowing they are wanted and valued. This is who we are because of whose we are. Show someone that truth today. Let the person in your mirror know that they are wanted and loved. And let that truth drive you to let a neighbor, coworker, spouse, or child know they are wanted as well. Because this little bit of truth can go a long way in removing the blinders from us all. So think about that. As we walk through life, are we seeing the people on the road next to us as image bearers? Are we seeing the person at the store as image bearer? Do we see the people in our house as image bearers? Because when we start to see the people around us like that, then again, the blinders are taken off. And we begin to understand, oh, they're broken. They're broken like me. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, what Hope, you just deal with the most broken. You probably just deal with the poor and the downtrodden and no one like me. No, that's not true. We see people from all walks of life, married people, divorced people, single people, of all ages, of all shapes and sizes, straight people, homosexual people, transgender people. And see, what we know is although we may disagree with them on certain things and the way they see the world, they are an image bearer, and we as believers understand that we have to be there. That doesn't mean we water down the gospel. That doesn't mean we water down our message. We don't do that. We speak truth, but we do it just like I talked about in the first segment. When you're having those conversations with your teachers, you do it with respect and by being tactful, not hateful and bitter and angry. And so we don't enter into those conversations from a place of anger or bitterness. We enter into those conversations as Paul did. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, why do you think he said that? That's to show I'm just as bad as anyone I'm going to come in contact with. And the Lord saved me. And so no matter where I go or who I meet, Gentile or Jew, they need the gospel. And so what we do at Hope is no matter who we meet, no matter their background, we know that they are wanted by God. And the very fact that we are wanted and God has grabbed a hold of us means that we have to care for them. Because we could make a lot of profit off of the work we do. And that's not just tooting my own horn. I mean, we have a great staff of medical professionals. We could make some profit. We could charge a lot of money. And people are always coming to us and saying, you know, you could charge a little bit. You don't have to charge as much as the abortion clinics, but you could charge a little bit. But again, that's not our goal. You see, our goal is not to turn our patients into numbers that translate to budget items. Because when we turn them into budget items, then that's going to cloud our judgment. Our goal is to love and serve with no judgment and at no cost. And that's where you come in. And that's where supporters all over this country and all over this town and people that stand up to stand for life and to stand with hope. And so understand that. As I said earlier, when you look in the mirror, do you believe that about yourself, that you're wanted? Because we have so many people that come into Hope that, again, it's fantasy to them. It's not real. Their past is their identity. Their abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, that has become their identity. Their broken marriage has become their identity. Their drug abuse has become their identity. Their abortion that they has become their identity. So again, that's why we have these conversations. That's why we open our doors to them. It's because we know that their past isn't their identity. That God has so much more for them and such bigger plans. And the reason we know that is because we see story after story where God intervenes and God transforms lives and God shows a beautiful picture of life via ultrasound. And so we know that. And we celebrate that truth. And so take that truth and let that drive your everyday living. Look at your child tonight and go, you're wanted. Not just by your mommy and daddy, but by the God of the universe that holds the stars in the sky, that can calm the storms. That is who we are as a people. We'll be back in a sec. Back, it's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening, as the theme tonight is Wanted. And so, no, it's not a Bon Jovi song. I think it is a Bon Jovi song, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. What we're talking about is the fact that God wants us, the fact that God loves us, the fact that we are image bearers, and what that means and what that translates to at Hope is everyone that walks into the door is an image bearer. And we're about to play a clip from a pastor in Texas, and his name is Matt Chandler, a great pastor, a great speaker. And this clip talks about a story where he met a single mom in college, and he was trying to get the gospel to her and have a conversation with her, and he took her to an event. And then that's where the story unfolds. And then we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus wants us, the fact that Jesus loves us, and the gospel importance in that. We'll play the clip, and we'll come back.
It didn't take long before my passion for the gospel and my passion to see lost men and women saved started to rub against or collide with the church. And so it wasn't very long, and I can give you dozens and dozens of stories, but really one that kind of broke the camel's back, where I decided if I was going to do this, I wasn't going to do it as a churchman, because the church, more often than not, was an enemy of conversion and not its friend. I'll give you an example. This turn in me, this break in me happened that God has been just disciplining me on ever since. Occurred my freshman year of college when I randomly sat next to I'm a freshman in college, I'm sitting next to a 26-year-old single mother who's coming back to school to try to get a degree, never been to church, didn't know much about Jesus, didn't know, and so we began this ongoing dialogue about the grace and mercy of Christ in the cross. And so me and some of my crew go over to her house and babysit her daughter. She's actually in an extramarital affair at the time with a married man. And so we talk through that, the wisdom in that. This is the relationship we had, just kind of serving her and trying to explain to her spiritual things. A friend of mine was playing at a church in the area, and so I asked her to come. He was a musician, and so I said, hey, a good friend of mine's in a band, he's playing, why don't you come hear him? And so she agreed. She thought it would be a concert. I knew better. It was shady. It was excellent. And she came with me, and we listened to Robbie play, and he was tremendous, just a real anointed guy. And then the minister got up, and he said, today I want to talk to you about sex. And so I immediately go, uh-oh, this could be a problem. And he took a red rose, and he smelled it, and he showed how pretty it was, and then he threw it out into the crowd. He goes, everybody needs to smell this. There's about 1,000 of us there, almost all of us college and high school. Smell the rose. I want you to smell it. I want you to touch it. I want you to see the texture in it. Do it, and I'm going to teach. And then he began what, honestly, up until this day, and this might have to do with my heart, I'm still wrestling, was one of the worst, most horrific handlings of what sex is and what it isn't that I ever sat through. It was fear-mongering at its best. It was, you don't want syphilis, do you? And everybody's smiling and having a good time until there's herpes on your lip, and you, right? And so I'm just thinking with Kim beside me, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then as it wraps up, he goes, where's my rose? Where is it? Where's my rose? And, you know, some kid came up, the rose is just completely jacked up. It's broken, the things are off, the petals are broken. And he lifts it up, and his big crescendo, I mean, his point is to hold up that rose and go, now who would want this? Who would want this rose? And I remember feeling anger, like real, legitimate, I want to hurt him anger. And it was all I could do not to scream out, Jesus wants the rose. That's the point of the gospel, that Jesus wants the rose. That he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ won. You're not even teaching the basics of our faith.
Now that is good stuff. You could just end the show right there if we wanted to and just meditate on what Matt Chandler was saying. And so the point of that, again, is Jesus wants the rose. And if you'll go on YouTube and watch it, I mean, it's been watched 100+ thousand times. And there's some people that are like, well, Matt, you know, of course you have trolls in the comment sections that'll say things like, well, you're celebrating, you know, this woman having sex out of wedlock and all these things. That is not what Matt Chandler's doing. Matt Chandler was trying his best to get the gospel to a broken person, right? You do understand that she wasn't a believer. She wasn't a believer. And so he's seeking to speak to her and bring the gospel to her. He's not celebrating. He's not celebrating the things that she's doing. But his point is, your past is not your identity. The cross reaches to our darkest places. And so when that speaker brought the rose back up and it's broken and tattered and looks terrible, and he says, who wants this rose? Well, what does that tell the lady that walked into Hope today? That's broken and wounded. Are we as believers to look at her and say, who would want you? Who could possibly love you at this point? Of course not. That is anti-gospel. That is hateful. And so what we do is we say, even in the midst of your sin, Jesus wants you. He went to the cross. That's what we do as not just at Hope Resource Center, but in our everyday walk. That's the unconditional love that God provides. That's not celebrating. That's not saying go and sin all the more, as Paul talked about. Paul said, at no point am I saying go and sin all the more. The fact that we have this means that we have changed our behavior, that we strive to be more like Christ and not like our natural self. We try to get away from sin, not run towards sin. That's what the gospel does to us. And so this message that we have is one of love, is one of life. We celebrate who we are because of whose we are. You see, we are image bearers. The men and women that come into Hope are image bearers, and a lot of them are struggling, and a lot of them are at very bad places. And a lot of times they can't get out of their own way. And they continue to make the wrong choices and the same mistakes over and over and over again. But the last thing that we do is look at them and say, who would want you? Who could possibly have love for you? Because then what you're saying is you have no value. Or your value is based in your decisions and is based in who you can achieve and what you can achieve. And we know that's not true. My salvation isn't based in what I can achieve. It's what Christ achieved. And the fact that that happened then drives me to live a different life. Not a perfect life, because I struggle. And so that's the message that we have. If we want to preach the gospel, and if we want to be a gospel people, then that starts with celebrating life in the womb. But it does not end there. We must stand for that mom in crisis. The difference with the sin of premarital sex, especially when it happens and a young lady gets pregnant, when that happens, that means that the sin is now visible. Well, you know she's not married. She's pregnant, so the sin has become visible. That's the only difference. I'm always having conversations with people and I'm saying, you do realize that there's a lot of believers out there doing the exact same things. They just aren't getting pregnant, or they're running as fast as they can to an abortion clinic. And in their mind, they're thinking, I'm getting rid of this sin. But that's not what they're doing. And so what we have to do is truly, if we believe the gospel to be true, if we believe that image bearers, that we are image bearers and that we've been given the gift of life, that we have been given that it just didn't happen by some kind of coincidence, that we were given this life for a purpose, that where you are right now at this very moment, you're there for a purpose. If we believe that, then we're going to interact with people a little bit differently. We're going to see them differently. We're going to offer mercy. We're going to offer grace. We're not going to water down the gospel. We're not going to water down truth. We're not going to curtail our messages to fit certain agendas. But we must be a people that loves the broken. Why? Because our Savior did. Like, do you not grasp that? The fact that you're saved, the fact that I'm saved, means that a Savior loved the broken. And if you don't believe you're the broken, then you need to look in the mirror again. I mean, there's countless examples where Jesus would go to the woman at the well. Everyone knew she was sleeping around. The reason she was at the well when she was at the well was because she knew no one else would be there. And so she didn't want to get those judgment eyes from the community. Oh, there's the one that sleeps around with everybody. Now, what did Jesus do? Did he water down the gospel? No. He went up to her and said, "Where's your husband?" "Well, I don't have one." "Well, I know you don't have one. You've been sleeping with multiple men, and the man that's at your home right now isn't your husband." He pointed it out, but then he loved her and told her the good news that the Savior has come. And that right now you seek to quench your thirst with the water from this well, but what I'm offering will quench your thirst forever, for eternity. That's what he has. When he's sitting down and he's having dinner, and a woman comes in and washes his feet with her tears, and everyone is aghast. And how dare her do that? What's Jesus do? He points out that she's the one. She's the one showing the proper reverence to the King. She's the one that cares deeply enough about the Savior. So as gospel people, as pro-life people, we don't put on the judgment goggles and not go into these deep, dark places. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we don't call out sin when sin is present. That doesn't mean we don't have those conversations. We certainly do. And in mentoring sessions at Hope Resource Center, we have those conversations. Well, how did you get to this point? What choices are you making? Why are you making those choices? Those choices are detrimental to your future. Those choices are detrimental to your eternity. Those are conversations that we have. We don't steer away from that. We don't back away from that. But our goal, first and foremost, is to love and serve. And so the fact that they are wanted, the fact that Jesus wants the rose, as Matt Chandler said, let that truth sink in. Let it sink into your bones, because we hear that, a lot of us, and we go, "Well, I'm not the rose." I mean, the rose is the patients that are coming to Hope. No, actually, you're like what Paul said. We're the chief of sinners. We all have our skeletons. We're all broken. And so all of us would have been the rose. And Jesus still went to the cross because he wanted us. Celebrate that today. We'll be back in a sec to talk more. And we're back. Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you for listening. We're here every Tuesday night, starting at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, every Tuesday night. And we certainly appreciate your support and your time. You know, maybe you're driving home. Maybe you're still thinking about your kids going back to school and you're trying to get all that settled. We also post these on our website. We have a podcast, and so we certainly encourage you to listen there as well. Every time I mow, I don't listen to my show, but when I'm mowing, I always listen to podcasts. That's always a good time to catch up, and you can catch up with everything about Hope and learn about some pro-life issues that are facing the country and that are facing this area. And so we certainly appreciate you listening. I do want to point out a couple things coming up in September, September 26th. It's a Monday. We have a golf tournament at Gettys View Country Club. We certainly, you can learn more about that, investinghope.com, and you can sign up, and we would love for you to come out and join us. Love to meet you and play a good round of golf and donate money and for a good cause and to stand with us there at Hope Resource Center. Coming up in October, October 10th through the 16th, we have our Life Matters Prayer Initiative. We started this last year, so this is our second annual prayer initiative where we spend the entire week focused on intentional prayer. And where that came from, Life Matters came from last year when all the videos were released, the undercover videos about Planned Parenthood and what was going on with baby harvesting and all of those things. When that was released, it just really hit me hard that some of what I was doing was not focused where it needed to be. And so seeing those videos, you know, made me weep at my desk there at Hope, and talking with some other staff members, just thought, you know, we need to be intentional about our prayers. And so October 16th is the largest abortion provider in the country. It's Planned Parenthood's birthday, and they will turn 100 years old October 16th. And so that entire week, we're going to pray. We're not going to be angry. We're not going to be bitter. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for our patients. We're going to pray for our staff. We're going to pray for abortion providers. We're going to pray for the men and women that are going into those places. We're going to pray that God would transform the minds and the hearts of those that are working at those facilities. And so that's the Life Matters Prayer Initiative, and we hope that you'll join us. The 16th, that night at 6 o'clock, I just got word today, had a meeting with the pastor from Shoreline and the worship pastor, and we're going to have a worship and prayer night at Shoreline October 16th at 6 o'clock, and we hope that you join us for that. Chuck Hooten leads the worship there, and they have a brand new album out called Sing Over Us, and just great stuff. You can get it on iTunes. And so we'll be doing that October 16th at Shoreline. We hope that you'll join us, and I'll have more information about that as we get closer. But the main thing is always be in prayer for what we're doing. You know, some of you may be listening going, I would love to write a check. I would love to send money to Hope. I just don't have the funds to do that. That's okay. You can pray, and we certainly would welcome that. Some of you are listening going, I absolutely can send money, and we would certainly welcome that as well. Would love for you to stand with us there at Hope Resource Center. One thing I want to point out as well, we have just a number of things coming up. We have staff going to conference and different things. We would appreciate your prayers for that. We have Battle of the Bottles coming up, and some of you are going, what's Battle of the Bottles? Well, CAK, Christian Academy in Knoxville, and Grace Christian Academy, they come together and they have a football game, which they have a football game every year between each other. They're a rival. It's a rival between them. Well, what we do is we take bottles to CAK and bottles to Grace, and they raise money. And then we announce the total at the football game. And since we've done this, so over about 7 or 8 years, we've raised over $100,000. Last year, about $25,000 between Grace and CAK from elementary all the way to high school. And so that's what we're going to be doing here very soon. Their football game is August 26th. It's a Friday night, and it's going to be a fun night. And so be praying about that. Be praying that God would use those schools, two teams, one mission, as we raise money to celebrate life and impact this community. As always, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday to talk more on life. I'm Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Talk to you soon. Lift your head, we'll be center. The river's just a down the path of forgiveness, salvation's waiting.